crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry? Then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned in to the newest edition of the Punchless MMA Podcast. It's your boy, Dale Lippin, in here with Trey Van Buskirk. Trey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm about ready to be done. I think I'm done with the show already today.
As producer Jake said, in through the nose, out through the mouth, goose fraba.
I'm so mad I can't stand it. For those of you that are finally joining us on the YouTube live stream, I appreciate your unending patience. I am recording this episode from within my kitchen, as my studio space within my home, my newly renovated podcast studio space, does not have strong enough Wi-Fi, apparently, in order to support our internet streaming platform, whatever you want to call it. So it wasn't until today, whilst trying to get started, that it told me that my connection was too unstable for high-definition streaming. So here's where we are, because everything is tied up into that one plan working, and that one plan is not working.
Hey, but now the viewers get a good view of your refrigerator and your kids' drawings, man. It looks gorgeous.
That's true. Well, everything's coming full circle. The first time I interviewed Drew, if he comes on the show, which I don't know if he will or not, with the show being the way that it is tonight, in the event that he does come on the show, the first time I interviewed him, I was sitting in my kitchen. So we have come full circle.
We started from the bottom and we're still there.
So that's a ton of fun. We're starting a good 21 minutes late, which is also really fun. It's one of those things where it's pretty crazy. I don't even know what to do with this anymore.
This is really good, man. I'm gonna say this because I like the mundane kind of, you know, sulking attitude you're bringing into this, because that's where we were on Saturday. We had great fights, bad bets. What we have coming up, we've got a plethora of fights. We've got a plethora of opportunity. We've got two guests coming on. Come on, man. Yeah.
I'm happy about those things. But, dude, you can't tell me when you're in the midst of something where nothing's working and everything's falling apart, that it's easy to keep a positive attitude. I need your California sunshine attitude to keep me moving right now, because I'm not happy. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not happy with the way this day has unfolded. I'm not happy with the way Saturday unfolded. And I was under the, like, my big idea for this episode was to have it be my, like, first super kick butt episode from my studio. Like, I was ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
And no, it just the fact, like, in fact, it didn't matter that I prepared accordingly. But we're gonna keep it moving. I hate the phrase, it is what it is, but it is exactly that. So
nice.
Yeah. Okay. I also left my beer upstairs too, and I'm thirsty again. Damn it.
Okay. Well, give me this real quick.
I'm gonna give you whatever you want.
If Dober does jump in. Prior to that, UFC 257, give me your overarching kind of idea of how the whole night went, not just in association to our bets, but what were your takeaways? What were the highs? What were the lows? You know, obviously, if we do have Drew Dober on tonight, that's amazing to understand what the lightweight landscape looks like. But gosh, we got a full view of that top five. Like, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about what, like, Connor's performance, and there's you know, it's one of those things where, as much as I dislike the guy, he is very good at times he can be very good with evaluation, right? Evaluation of self. And I think that initial leaning, is that he's been too inactive for too long, and the game will move on without you if you're not active. And I think that's really accurate. I mean, one of my biggest arguments that I like to make against Connor is the fact that he's only won one MMA fight in the last 4 years, or whatever the case may be. that holds true as to why he lost too. He's only won one fight in the last 4 years, 5 years. He doesn't fight very often.
Yeah. I think the most disappointing thing for me with the Conor fight, being an actual Conor fan, is no longer seeing the fire. In his post-fight press conference, and he was the first one to say, you know what, like, this loss doesn't feel too bad. He thinks that from a contract negotiation perspective, he can get the trilogy with Dustin, which, again, makes no sense to me. It's hard to get trilogies even when we see, you know, Alex Volkanovski and Max Holloway to do a third. You know, granted, Max lost twice, but to get someone, Conor, who fought 6 years prior Dustin, to get a trilogy, it's just not that enticing. But for him to be okay with a loss, for him to just kind of say, I'm on this pedestal of $100 million and you were so lucky to have walked my red carpet. To me, remove him. I mean, there is no reason for him to fight as active as seven fights. He's not as enticing. He lost a lot of viewership, I believe, going forward. For any fight that he's going to take.
It takes a lot to be motivated by legacy alone. And he keeps talking about how the legacy, you know, what's the double champ do? He does it twice, right? It takes a lot to be motivated by legacy when you've got $100+ million in the bank, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing to want to be motivated by legacy if you don't have $100 million. Currently, spoiler alert, I do not have $100 million in the bank. But I am concerned about my legacy. I'm concerned about the things I leave behind for my children and my children's children. But I say that from a position of not having $100 million in the bank. When Conor didn't have $100 million in the bank, he wanted to be the double champ. He wanted to be the first one to do it. He wanted to defend it. He wanted to be part of something that had never been done before. And for the most part, he did so with flying colors. Yeah, you're just not going to stay hungry the same way when you're rolling up the, you know, Abu Dhabi in a yacht. It's just not going to happen, man. And you can say what you want about the stance. You can say what you want about the boxing heavy, the switching of the camps, the different sparring partners, the this, that, and the other. But I think when it boils down to it, it was inactivity coupled with the fact that he cracked Dustin with the best shots he had. Dustin ate him up. And as soon as Dustin started to eat straight left hands and smiling at him, I was like, oh, crap, man, we're in trouble.
Yeah, and I thought actually going into the main event, the co-main event, Michael Chandler, man, what a stud.
Dude,
I loved his post-fight speech, straight up WWF. But I know we have a couple people here waiting in the lobby. One would be able to give some very hot takes, very spicy takes.
Very spicy.
Caliente. And then also we got Drew Dober, freaking knows what's going on with the lightweight division. How's it going? And he's wearing a shirt. Why is he wearing a shirt?
I just put on a shirt just for this video, but I may or may not be wearing pants. So
you're making it awkward that you're wearing a shirt. So I'll just one second. There we go. All right, much better. One of us had to not wear a shirt. So
I'm.
Well, wow. It shows well with the background. So I'm intrigued.
Okay, maybe. Cool. I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same level now. I thought you were, we told a lot of listeners you would be no shirt, but you are wearing a shirt. We got Hot Take Kate in here. Drew, thank you so much for coming on the podcast once again, brother.
I appreciate you guys.
Now, see, here's the thing is we were supposed to get on a little bit earlier, and Drew, we were going to try to stagger because we had this thing where we're going to try to see if Kate like fits in with our show. And you have been on our show more than anybody else. So my question to you, because you know I like to ask you off-the-wall questions, was when was the last time that you participated in any sort of job interview?
Job interview?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. That has to be like 10 years ago at least.
Perfect, because we are undecided whether or not we're going to make Kate part of the show full-time, so we want you to help decide whether or not that's going to...
Oh, God.
Oh, man. All right.
Are you guys for real right now?
No, of course not. Yeah. Of course not. But
I have my questions prepared. I
figured as much. I figured as much. Nothing like a panel interview between the three of us when shirt on. Yeah.
Yeah. HR violation right here for sure.
You are
no shirt on. Yeah.
Drew, fill us in. How's life? What's going on? How's prep for the fight? Let's get all these journalism questions out of the way first, man. walk me through what's going on right now.
I mean, life is significantly different than enjoying holidays in December mm-hmm. and then getting right back into training for a fight here in January. So, in all honesty, it's designated meals, designated training times, just train, eat, sleep, and repeat constantly. So, man, trying to figure out new, inventive, like, fun content for my Instagram is getting very difficult, considering that I'm only thinking about Islam for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were in the sweepstakes, you know, we ran all kinds of different contests to try to figure out whether or not we could, you know, determine who your next opponent was going to be. Admittedly, you're very coy when it comes to these things. It ends up being the Islam fight, which is our opinion, probably the best fight for you and showcase for of your talents. I know that, you know, the hay's already in the barn for the most part, as far as fundamentals are concerned, but are you taking any sort of different approach to prepare for a guy like this?
I wouldn't say it's different for my approach, but it's different from what you guys have been saying. I haven't fought since May, but the entire year of 2020, I've been thinking about that Diego Ferreira. I never know pronounce his name right. But black belt jiu-jitsu, so I was preparing for a ground fight. And so now here in 2021, I'm fighting Islam, who I'm pretty sure is going to want to take me down. I'm just continue preparing for a ground fight. So I'm going to showcase new technique, talent, and a new Drew Dober in this next fight. But as always, I want to make it entertaining and search for a knockout.
I love the approach. True or false, his little beard without the mustache on the top, it's really annoying. You don't like it.
Well, so I have a main training partner, Peter Straub, who's got the full beard and mustache mm-hmm. because I need to get used to what it feels like to have that facial hair all on my face. So, you know, in training, we're going to over-exaggerate the situation. So he's kept his mustache. So that way, when I'm in the fight with Islam, who doesn't have a mustache, it's less extreme. Mm. So I'm fully prepared for that.
That's smart. That's a really immersive approach. I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't already talking about this like 2 hours ago.
Drew, I want to get your take on this. Prior to getting into your fight, Team Elevation, Dale and I have always touted it one of the best teams here domestically. And you guys had what's your leader and veteran in Neil Magny fight recently against Michael Chiesa. What was kind of his thoughts coming back? What was his preparation like? I know that was your guys' vet, so I know he's going to help you prepare. What was kind of his demeanor leaving that octagon that night?
Oh, man. I mean, I haven't talked to him since that fight. Going into the fight, man, he's super excited. I think, in all honesty, Team Elevation was in the last, like, quarter of 2020 was kind of struggling as far as, like, you know, the closures, the restrictions, and all that stuff. Things have opened up since then, and it's been great, but it has affected a lot of our training for all of Team Elevation. So, you know, unfortunately, Neil didn't get the victory, but, man, he's still one of the toughest, hardest-working guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
Now, Kate, we wanted to bring you on. You are hot take cake for a reason, but we wanted Drew to be a judge of character in regards to the content that you're going to bring to our show. Drew sent us a message on the side and said it was complete nonsense that he was not elected as guest of the year, and he really wanted the opportunity to right this ship. So we need you to give us a hot take so Drew can decide whether or not this is the content that he really wants to continue to be a part of. So what do you got?
All right. So
no pressure, though. No pressure.
Here's my hot take. Why is Drew, who's on a 3-fight win streak, knocked out of the rankings when Gregor Gillespie is still in it? Ooh. Who got knocked out cold?
That's spicy. Mm.
What do you got here, Drew? What do we think? Why is Gregor in and you're out?
I mean, all of these are like a popularity contest. And I think Gregor Gillespie was like close to 10 at the time. And he's been kind of like working his way down. But, you know, I have no control over the rankings, but it works in my favor because every time I fought a person or trying to prove myself or I'm an underdog, I usually come out with a knockout. So, you know, I have to be thankful for the fact that I'm no longer ranked so I can still push for that rankings again.
Or that rankings are nonsense.
Right.
Islam has far more Instagram followers than I do, and that's the only reason why he's ranked higher.
True. They are absolute nonsense.
I have very little Instagram followers, and I'm not ranked, so that makes perfect sense.
There you go. Next year, dude.
That makes sense. So, all right, let's see here. Now, Kate, all right, so you've given us one. You said that you had four piping hot ones, but hold on to your other three because we got a couple more questions for Drew here. So, Drew, I can't remember last time you were on the show whether or not you were engaged yet. That's a relatively new development. So you're generally pretty sharing in the social media aspect, and then you got engaged. What did you do anything special for that? Kind of walk us, if you within reason, share that special moment, man. Congratulations,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, that was a fun one. It was the fight was canceled, and then I got sick and all this crazy nonsense. So like literally I had to spitball it towards the end there. So I took her up to Breckenridge, Colorado, and proposed to her on that trip. And we got to like hang out, and you know, with all restrictions, still got to have fun and whatnot. And so now, along with preparing for Islam, I'm planning a wedding, which seems to be a little bit more difficult than fighting Islam.
Justifiably so. Trey, what do you got?
Well, for sure. And actually, has your fiance like seen you fight live? Like, you guys have been around, I mean, together for a while. She's seen the blood and guts, the legitness.
I mean, she's seen my like first round KOs. I'm still kind of like mentally preparing her for like some moves, but no, she hasn't seen a loss yet, but she has seen the fights, but they've all been pretty decent ones. I'm constantly trying to remind her that there will be times where I'm gonna, you know, look like I'm gonna have like a Dustin Poirier kind of fight, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
The last few days or weeks, even, you've been posting a lot of your older fights on Instagram. What's the sort of genesis on that? It's great to see your commentary on how you were feeling mentally and physically going into those fights. But where's the, you know, just something fun you're doing for the fans, or what's the genesis behind that?
Oh man, I just went for a run, and I was thinking on the run, like, do we even remember like in detail the fights in Rocky movies, or do we all just remember the stuff leading up to the fight? Right. Yeah, so they got to where I was like, man, like my fights are all over the internet, but people don't really know the story of like how I got to what you're now watching. So I was like, I'm just gonna see, you know, how that goes, and I'm just gonna post some old stuff and tell the stories. And yeah, I mean, I've had fun kind of just like reminiscing those moments, and then I've been getting some great feedback as far as people being entertained by my old shenanigans. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, what UFC fights I want to write a story about. But yeah, it's to be continued.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of like the floppy emo kid haircut with like the basketball shorts that you're fighting in like in amateur days. That's top notch, man.
That fight in particular, one, I didn't have any good hair game until I was like 25 years old. I was never introduced to a barber. It was a huge problem. But those gym shorts you're talking about, I actually had to borrow those the day of the event because I got to the whatever empty gymnasium I was fighting in, and I forgot shorts. So I had to borrow this dude's pair of shorts that was like in the same locker room as me.
That's fantastic.
So did you have like a walkout song for that fight? Like that looked like Dale said, with the emo haircut, I could see like Papa Roach or something weird, you know?
It wasn't even given the option. I think they had their own DJ that was just playing whatever. Yeah. It was only after the fact that I had like the video that I was like, oh, I walked out to that song. That's weird. But, I mean, it got to where, like, nothing was ever, like, in forethought. Like, I just showed up, and then they're like, you're fighting that guy. And I was like, all right. And so I just, like, showed up, fought, and left. And then the videos was like, oh, so that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, that's great.
I like it. I think sometimes there's probably, like, a little bit of an advantage to that, because then you don't have time to overthink it or over-prepare. You just show up, and you're just like, this guy? All right, this guy gets work tonight.
Yeah, exactly. One of my old teammates said, it's so much easier fighting in bars because you just mouth off and you start fighting immediately. There's no thought behind it, right? And it was just always like that anxiety when like the bully was like, I'll meet you after school. And he had to think about it all day before it happened. And here we are, like, I have a bully named Islam that I got to think about for the next 6 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So it's far easier to just show up and fight.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. All right, Kate, piping hot take number two. What do you have for us? Don't pick a fight this time. What are you doing?
Don't pick a fight. I wasn't picking a fight. I was trying to say how I think he's amazing, and I think the rankings are butt-kiss. And I wanted to know, you know, what y'all thought of it. I think it's nonsense.
It's a very PG butt-kiss or butt-kiss. Okay, I like it. I like it. Right. Very, very wholesome. Go for it.
Don't worry. I'll swear like a sailor in like a second.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Just hang on to your shirts. Okay. The first thing, yeah, please hang on to your shirt, Trey. First thing that had come to mind while watching, or I guess it was more or less the lead up to last weekend's fights, was something that Ariel Helwani had said. He said that Conor McGregor is the most underrated fighter in the sport right now. And I went, underrated by whose standards? Like, what measurement are you using? He's the highest paid. He's the most popular. He can pick any fight he wants. He can fight, like you said, once a year. He's won one fight in 4 years, and he's still made $5 million, and that's just on his pay. I'm hoping that now he can actually start to get moved to where, you know, the rest of us see him. It's like, is he the GOAT? No. Does he suck like half of these idiots on Instagram talk about? No, absolutely not. He's somewhere in the middle there. He's not the greatest thing since sliced bread, but he's certainly not the worst. He's still an amazing fighter. He still has impeccable technique, but he's got some gaps. And I'm hoping that now, you know, he'll actually start to focus on those instead of just riding on the hype that was McGregor Mania.
Drew, go. What do you got, man?
I agree with her. Like, you look at Conor, and it really isn't about in manner of like his fight performances. It's always about like his outside cage shenanigans, his whiskey, right. His throwing a dolly, his loud mouth. I literally watch Conor just for the fight buildup, and when the fight happens, I'm like, we'll see. But yeah. Like, you watch Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor just because they're just constantly on each other the entire time. So, I agree. I think as a fighter, he kind of just blends into that top five, top ten. But as an entertainer, though, like, he's light years beyond other fighters.
Oh, for sure. But like, that's, I think, where the waters get muddied in terms of the fan base, is that you've got these people that are so, so sold on him that they're just like rabid religious fans. And then you've got these other people that just hate him. They hate him from the depths of their soul. They hate him.
What's wrong with that?
I want to start being able to have conversations, like good conversations, about his fight technique. Because the second that somebody says to me, Conor sucks, I go, do you watch this sport? Do you have any idea what he does? Anything at all?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but it's 2021. You're only allowed to love something or hate it. There is no comment. I don't know. There is no middle ground. I don't know.
Where I know.
And mediocre opinions on fighters don't sell tickets, and so right. They either have to love you or hate you.
Exactly.
If he's a good guy, then they're not buying your pay-per-view.
Right.
I'm still waiting.
That's fine. I understand where it comes from, like from the media perspective, from a fan perspective, but I guess I'm getting a little bit tired of like trying to have conversations with people and people immediately jumping to one end of the spectrum or another. It's like, there's so much great stuff in this sport. There's such amazing, I can't even begin to go into how much I love watching it and love watching the talent and the athleticism. And I want to get to appreciate that without having to constantly defend myself. It's like, no, I'm not like a Conor fanboy. I just legitimately like what he did in X fight or whatever it is.
Now, Trey is a reformed Conor fanboy. So, Trey, I'm interested on your take here, because you are, at one point in time, you were considering a proper 12 tattoo. So, please.
Yeah, please.
No, that's not true. That is not true. I love what he's done for the sport. I think it gives, you know, people that are great fighters like Drew an opportunity, if he can
market himself and obtain a fight like that to put himself in a totally different financial category. And I think when you get people like Dustin, like a Drew, that are really great, well-rounded fighters, and they get an opportunity to exercise their abilities against someone that's just money bags, one, they get to put on a performance and showcase all their capabilities, and two, they get to cash a bunch of money, and that's amazing. I think, Drew, I think the excitement with your fight with Makhachev coming up is insane because there's some history to it. You know, it canceled out in 2016. I want to get actually your take in regards to his failed drug test. And is that something you're still thinking of? You know, are you worried about banned substances still to this date? Is it something where you look at Islam and you're like, you know what? I don't care if he's shooting up or doing whatever. I know my abilities and I'm ready to freaking unload. Like, what's your thoughts on all that?
I mean, I have two thoughts. One, I don't think Islam's the guy. I think his failure to test was understandable to a degree, but it definitely wasn't steroids or anything. He doesn't seem like the athlete that does it. So I always have to exclude Islam in this. However, I have fought guys on steroids. I have fought guys that I'm sure were taking something, and I may have, you know, I'm going to fight them in the future. The thing is, those steroids, HGH, EPO, doesn't change your chin. So if I can land my hands on your mouth, it doesn't matter how many drugs you do, you're still going to sleep. It sounds super cocky, but that's how I feel. It's like, take as many drugs as you want. I'm still going to find a way to win.
Love it.
I like this.
Injected in the chin.
Have you ever seen those like YouTube videos, like the guys like in India that inject like the oil underneath their skin to like give themselves the massive biceps and stuff like that?
Oh, I know. Oh,
so painful.
I'm a big fan. It looks, I mean,
that kind of looks how my calves look, honestly. I don't know if you've seen pictures of my legs, but it looks like I've injected something in my calves, but
right.
I can't imagine any person actually doing that though.
Is there a single pair of pants that you can buy off the rack that fit your legs?
No, not at all. That's why I have one of those little stretchy pants sponsor. Like, I was walking in a gym, he just walks right up to me and he goes, I want to put pants on those legs. And I'm like, excuse me? And like, I wore the pants, are the most comfortable things ever. So like, here I am like being a poster child for their stretchy pants, because every post fight I go through at least one pair of jeans.
Yeah. That's weird. I said the opposite of that to my wife, and it worked out just as well. So there might be something to that. That's interesting. Speaking of clothing, real quick, you know, we always talk about the shirt thing, but here's the thing, right? We've continually busted your chops for about a year now, and we did not do an ad read for our clothing sponsor, Allegiance Clothing. We didn't do an ad read for them at the beginning of the show because you said something to me a while back, and I just figure, you know, it's not like a sworn testimony or anything like that, but I just want to ask you something personally. We sent you a shirt. We sent you a Punchless MMA shirt, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, bud. We sent you a shirt, and I've yet to see you wear it. Could you explain to me why you haven't worn the shirt we sent you?
I'm going to rebuttal and say, I want you to name more than three shirts that you've seen me in ever.
I agree.
Never. You can Google and it's just only shirtless photos. I'll be surprised if you find a shirt. I have a bunch of shirts, I'm assuming, with dust on them back there. I don't know because I don't want to ever touch them either. So
That's fair. Dale, to his point.
That I don't wear and won't ever wear, Punchline shirt is my favorite.
Right.
So it's on top of all the other ones that are collecting dust.
Well, here's the thing is, when I sent you the message on Instagram about it, you said that your fiance took it for a bedtime shirt. So that was going to be the sales pitch, was essentially that if it's soft enough for her to sleep in, that's how soft the clothes are. So you see where I was going with this. So I thought maybe you were going to take the breadcrumbs better than that. I should have prepared better.
The least amount of dust.
It has the least amount of dust. That's good.
She may or may not board it, but that's the last I've seen of it. But it must have been real comfortable. She didn't give it back.
Right. And I haven't seen your dog wearing it either. So how is your pup, by the way? He's very handsome, very good looking dog.
He is fantastic, but he turns into a psycho as soon as there's snow on the ground. And so it snowed here in Colorado, so the little guy won't stop bugging me to go outside and just hang out.
There you go. Well, it snowed here in San Diego, by the way, just FYI. That's why I had to put the shirt back on. We had some significant hail, which is essentially the same thing. But yeah, I got a taste of what your training environment's all like, and it's pretty legit, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly more painful earlier. I don't know if you heard the stories, maybe the last time we interviewed, training for my fight with Alexander Hernandez, going into like speakeasy gyms with no heat on in the middle of like March. Justin Gaethje and I were just super cold and just trying to have championship rounds against each other. Gaethje even told me that his toes actually went numb while sparring me.
So, well, and actually, you bring up a good point. So John Kavanaugh, after the Conor fight, came out and he was talking to, I won't say the A word, like Hot Take Kate did, that guy, interviewed him and said that the tough part when Conor was getting his left or right leg beat up pretty consistently by Dustin, there's no way to really train that. And you bring up a good point with cold weather and stuff like that. You're wearing shin pads and stuff like that. How do you train for that? Because Conor, like, sure, he was sparring. He had, you know, shin pads and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, what's real is real. And, I mean, he was taken out in that first round. What are you doing to prepare to kind of, like, what is it, callusing up your shins? Or what are you doing?
You callus up, like, mentally. It's just you're going to be uncomfortable. I mean – yeah, it's snowing out and it's really bad, but you're just still going to see me walk around shirtless in shorts and my flip-flops. And people are like, what are you doing? You're going to get sick. And I was like, you just got to embrace the uncomfortable, because I consciously put myself in a cage in front of millions of people. So comfort isn't the first thing I think about. So yeah, you just got to condition, no matter what it takes. Just condition your mind to just prepare for the suck.
Well, I feel like a total bitch for putting my shirt back on, but thank you.
Cool. As you should. All right, Kate, you gave us two out of the four. Hit us with number three, please.
Why is nobody, and I mean no one, I've seen it, I've not seen it in the comments, I've not seen it from any of the major MMA media channels, and if you guys have seen it, please correct me. Why is nobody talking about the option of Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje for the belt? I've been hearing Dustin versus Oliveira and Oliveira versus Gaethje and Dustin versus Chandler. I've heard not one person is saying, let's take the two guys that Khabib just beat, who both had the interim title, who both fought each other in what was arguably one of the best fights I've ever personally seen. Why aren't we just going to do that again for the title? Like, why is no one saying that?
Because we have a new shiny toy called Michael Chandler. It's going to overstep a ton of people because he has not been beaten by Khabib, and we still have no idea what he's capable of. So we're putting all our money in the unknown instead of the, you know, have the two guys that got defeated by Khabib fight each other. You know, I'd be all about it. I think I'm Justin Gaethje's teammate, friend, fan, and I would love for him to have that rematch with Dustin Poirier. But man, I know the UFC has dollar signs, and Michael Chandler's all about that. And so, you know, UFC is, I'm sure, more excited about a brand new fresh fight than a rematch for a title. And I have no idea what they're going to do with Oliver. No, what's his name again?
Charlie Olives. So, well, let me ask you this, because, like you said, Chandler's the new kid on the block, right? What we saw on Saturday night, full disclosure, I was all in on Dan Hooker. I lost a lot of money on Saturday night. Dan Hooker really let me down. So I don't have anything nice to say. And I just don't – and all that comes from a betting perspective, right? Obviously not a professional fighter. I respect everybody that makes the walk. All of that stuff you're supposed to say. Was Chandler impressive, in your opinion, Drew? Was Chandler impressive on Saturday night, or did Dan Hooker just look really bad?
I mean, I don't know if you saw my prediction video that I posted on Instagram. I was horribly wrong. With like every prediction. But Michael Chandler was impressive. From what I saw in that fight, it was a lot of like a mental warfare leading up to it. He was talking all about his wrestling. Like, I'm a college wrestler, I'm this and that, I'm going to take him down, I'm going to beat him up and all that stuff. So the unfortunate thing that Dan Hooker was doing, he was so defensive from that takedown that it allowed striking to happen. And that's the thing with like fighting grapplers, like fighting Khabib, is when you're so paranoid about not getting taken down, then that's how Conor gets dropped, you know, when they fought. It's like you can't be completely defensive with grappling, you know, hoping for the best. And so honestly, I think it was a poor judgment by Dan to not take a step forward and really just engage in that grappling, whether it happens or not. He was always on his back foot, and unfortunately it ended the way it did.
Yeah. He came out and he was with that constant lateral movement. I'm just screaming at the TV going, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? And then it also looked like he was having a hard time making reads on Chandler. Chandler appeared to be a lot faster than I think he was giving him credit for. Chandler was very, very quick and closing distance very fast. And it appeared, even in the first couple, you know, shots that Chandler missed, that Hooker was having a hard time making the reads on the speed.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. It was cutting off the ring. He wasn't allowing, like, he wasn't just following Hooker. He was, like, corralling Hooker.
Right.
And, I mean, he was changing the level of his attacks. I mean, you saw the ending. Like, it was a body shot to the head. And so, I mean, like, as far as, like, strategy goes, Chandler killed it. So, yeah. I'm excited to see how he does. I mean, the Bellator guys don't have great records coming into the UFC. And so, I want to see how he continues. You know, he's had those wars with, you know, Will Brooks and Eddie Alvarez. And Dustin Poirier is the guy that's going to bring that war to you. And we'll see how Chandler handles. And all honestly, I think the UFC is going to make that fight, the Chandler versus Poirier for the belt.
Right. And,
but as much as we're fighters, we're also entertainers. And so after that WWE post-fight interview by Michael Chandler, I think he might be just bumping up to that.
Yeah.
You know, who practiced that in the mirror. That was so. Didn't he stutter once? Oh, sure, God.
He had a cue card as well.
Thanks. I hate it. Like, I hated it.
Only Brock Lesnar could have done it better.
God, I hated it so much.
So you brought up a great point with Bellator. Trey, I want to get your opinion on this because this was just announced today. So, a round robin of sorts, if you will. Ben Askren signed on to fight your boy, Jake Paul. Yeah, the proverbial sigh of unbelief. Trey, first of all, the betting lines are out, if you guys care. The betting lines are out. Jake Paul is currently a -180 favorite. Ben Askren, a +150 underdog here. Initial reactions to that betting line, Trey. Who do you think is going to win the fight, and do you think this is good or bad for the sport?
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, man. This is the smartest pick for Jake Paul on the planet. There was two fights that made a lot of logistic sense for him inside that ring, and that was either Dylan Danis or Ben Askren, both guys that don't know what to do with their hands, straight up Anchorman style, like no idea. Unless they could take it down on the ground, they have no idea what to do. Jake Paul's going to come into this fight way bigger. I don't know what weight they're planning on doing this at. What's catch weight of like 185 or whatever, but Jake Paul is going to look like a monster compared to him. And Ben Askren is susceptible to getting slept, as we've seen. Mm. So I think that's a bad matchup for Ben, but I also think, gosh, what a way to, you know, sail into the sunset with some serious cash.
Drew, what do you think?
I think the prelim should be Floyd Mayweather and Tiger Woods in a jiu-jitsu match.
Yeah, exactly. About that. Yeah.
Nobody wants to see people that don't know how to throw hands. It's a prestigious tough man competition. That's what this is. But I think I'm very happy that there's no knees in boxing because Ben Askren doesn't like those very much. And so, honestly, I think it's just going to be a very boring fight.
Yeah.
So I think both Paul and Askren just don't know how to find that chin or even move their own. So you get the Mike Perry punching an old man video is just about as exciting as what we're going to see with Logan and
I like this.
That's his face.
I honestly, I would like to see Floyd Mayweather just try to spell jiu-jitsu rather than compete jiu-jitsu. I just want to see him try to spell it.
That's a low blow.
50 Cent, Floyd Mayweather, spelling bee.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. They should have an annual Floyd Mayweather spelling bee where it's just like him and all his boys trying to spell just very commonplace things.
We'd have to put a time limit. Just
Oh my goodness. All right, Kate.
Okay, so think? Funny story. Maybe it's not funny. Ben Askren and I went to high school together.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So he was 1 year ahead of me. I didn't actually know him. My sister was good friends with his brother. But I've talked to him after the fact. I've met him a couple times. My dad had lunch with him like in January. So I love Ben dearly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. And, I hate, deeply hate that he's doing this, because I just don't think that it's a good idea. But if he's taking it for a big fat paycheck, you know, more power to him. And if he does manage to win this thing and silence forever this nonsense that is YouTubers becoming fighters, we'll erase his loss to Masvidal. Like, we won't make jokes about it anymore. Like, that'll all go away. You can save everything, Ben, if you can pull this off. But I don't have high hopes, Ben. I love you, but
So here's my thing: is I feel like this is going to bring out the worst that our sport has to offer in some way, shape, or form. Because one, I don't know why he's been brought up so much, but Ariel is going to be the one that's primarily viewed as the expert as to why this is a fight that people should care about. And I don't particularly care for him. I don't think anybody, but Drew, we can segregate you here, buddy. I don't know how you feel about Ariel, but the three of us are not the biggest fans in the world. if that hasn't been apparent yet. And then two, it does make me nervous, because if you look at a guy like Ben Askren, who is a champ in multiple organizations and is such a decorated combat sports athlete, depending on how you feel about, you know, just wrestling as a combat sport, a guy that is a decorated combat sports athlete, if he does in fact go out there and get beat by a YouTuber done so in like an electrifying fashion, it really is going to bring out the worst of people. And that makes me nervous, man. Like, I don't want that to happen, because I feel like, one, I don't think it's good for the sport anyway to have these spectacle style fights. And then two, to have to be on the wrong end of a spectacle style fight. Drew, what do you think? I mean, like, you've been putting up all these amateur videos, you've competed everywhere from bars to barns and now, like, you know, Baghdad, really, just to keep rolling off the bees. You've literally fought everywhere, all kinds of different people, all kinds of different weights. You know, is there a market for the novelty thing? Where do we go from here? Win, lose, or draw?
I mean, Jorge Masvidal has backyard fights on his highlight reel. So maybe Ben Askren's just trying to do that. He's like, all right, well, I'm just going to have a backyard fight in a boxing ring. But it's unfortunate, but I feel like Pride was doing it for years, just having circus freak fights. And you know, just people just love seeing outrageous events, and it just goes behind the fact that, like, I mean, it's what Connor does. Connor's good at fighting, but the entire the Paul brothers are just doing the whole entertainment value. And MMA fans, especially the strict MMA fans, also forget that we're entertainers. Yeah. And there's a reason why, like, a Brock Lesnar or like a CM Punk entered the UFC. It's the same reason that Connor was able to enter boxing. It's just we're entertainers, and fighting is a secondary thought, apparently.
Okay. Well, I think that's the big issue, though, is they're touting Ben Askren as a UFC fighter. And I don't think he's a representation of your guys' organization. He's not. He's a one championship fighter. He's, you know, he's a wrestler. He's not a UFC fighter. He didn't do enough in that promotion or under that banner to constitute that name. And I think that's the thing that sucks. It's like, if you're going to say YouTube person versus a UFC fighter, choose a UFC fighter that was active and actually has those accolades to his record. Ben Askren does not have that. So for you, Drew, who's under the banner, are you a little bit embarrassed to have someone like that represent, I guess, the promotion to a certain degree?
I'm going to say no. I mean, if you fight in the UFC once, I mean, that's going to be like, it's going to be like the headline of the court order, like,
yeah,
a UFC fighter goes to the court for, or a UFC fighter goes and gets slept in a boxing match, or a UFC fighter, and it's like, as soon as you fight once in the UFC, I mean, that's just going to be your best accomplishment, you know, in any sort of article you're ever in. But I just don't think they represent all UFC fighters as a whole. I mean, had boxers come over to the UFC and just get dismantled, and it was quickly forgotten about. I couldn't even remember the fight, the boxer that even fought Randy Couture.
James Toney.
That guy, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just one of the things, like, it's going to be a spectacle, but because it has no merit, it's going to be so easily forgotten.
Yeah.
So, that being said, what celebrity or character would you fight?
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Come on, man. What did Danny ever do to you?
I don't know. He played Penguin poorly in that one Batman movie, and that doesn't sit well with me.
Right. Oh, my goodness. All right. You've been super generous with your time. Kate, this is the last part of your job on the job interview. Hot take number four. What do you got? Hit us with something spicy. You know, really, it's all on the line here. There's no pressure whatsoever. But Drew's been texting me on the side. He's not impressed yet. So what do you got?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, you kind of took my Jake Paul Ben Askren, but that's okay. I'll overlook that. That wasn't my notes. if Dana White wants us all to pay to watch these fights, he has got to make it easier. I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine and what happened. She paid for the pay-per-view ahead of time, hours ahead of time. And then went to sign in to watch the pay-per-view after having watched the early prelims and the prelims and was so super excited. And she missed the first two fights and then had to stream illegally the rest of the card.
No, she still got the box. She still listened to it. Uncle Dana, she watched it legally. No, she didn't.
She was not under any circumstances missing these fights, but she paid for it.
I don't know you. We're not getting taken down because of you.
I'm so tired of ESPN and this nonsense that is their platform. Like, get it together. Seriously, I can stream everything else with zero problems whatsoever, but a million and a half people want to watch one fight and you can't figure it out. Oh God, get out of here.
Drew, did you buy the fights?
I did buy the fights. And I did have to pull out my laptop.
Drew, they don't give you like a promo code?
People are all talking about, you know, I feel bad for the people that bought the pay-per-view and didn't get to watch it. I feel bad for the fighters, you know, they're on the Conor McGregor. I feel bad for that one fighter's grandma who paid for that pay-per-view to watch, you know, her grandson fight, and that couldn't work out. And she has no idea how to work Facebook, let alone find an illegal stream. So, yeah, that fighter fought on the main card of a Conor McGregor pay-per-view, and poor grandma didn't get to see it.
Oh, man, you hit me in my feels with this.
I know. It's intense.
Graham didn't get to see the fight?
Golly. I know.
Trey, how's it make you feel?
Even, you know, didn't even finish watching the rest of the card. I feel bad.
Wait, Drew, do you get, like, a promo code from the UFC to watch fights, or do you have to pay, like, full retail?
I don't know. I think I get a code for you. I get. I mean, it's the benefits. We don't have retirement or medical or anything. But we do get ESPN Plus, and it's incredible.
Okay, sick. It's like cover the $4.99. Okay, good.
Oh my gosh.
Hell yeah,
that's good. And listen, it's all the devil's in the details. As long as that's in the contract, four fight deal and 4 years at ESPN.
The only reason I'm trying to stay in the UFC is what am I going to do without ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's talk about it just real quick, because you mentioned a Conor McGregor card. You're on the most stacked card of the year, my man. I don't care about the Conor fight. You are on the single most stacked card, not even on the year. I don't even know if I've ever seen one outside of like the you know, the big celebration one, the UFC 100, the UFC 200, the 250 kind of setup. This is the biggest freaking card I think I've seen in recent memory. I mean, what do you do here, man? I mean, this is a huge spotlight for you.
It's my job to, or actually what I want to do is just get in, get my fight done and over with so I can find another venue to eat some popcorn and watch the rest of the fights. And so, like, I'm really excited to be a part of it. it's very unfortunate that it's going to be the most, it's the biggest but most quiet pay-per-view I'm ever going to be a part of. Yeah, I'm just going to get my job done and over with so I can watch the rest of the fights like the rest of the fans.
Awesome. All right. As always, we like to hit you with some hard-hitting questions before we let you go. You're super generous. You know that that seat is always yours whenever you want it. We appreciate you always coming on the show and being a good sport. But I do have a couple hard-hitting true or false questions for you before we wrap things up, if my colleagues in crime here are ready to put you on the hot seat.
Let's do it.
Okay. True or false? After your last win, you were going to shout out our show, Nick Diaz style, but forgot.
True.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Okay, all right.
Thank God.
True or false, you meant to send Trey and I Christmas cards, but forgot.
False.
Oh,
I posted the Christmas card to Instagram for you. Did you receive it?
That's true. You did. Damn it. I forgot about that. Okay.
I showed it to my wife. It was cool. Yeah.
And I was going to shout you guys after the fight, but Diego canceled the bout. So
right.
I couldn't shout you guys out. So
I understand.
These things are just out of my control.
I get it. That's why they're just simple true or false, because I could feel it in your heart. You just didn't have the opportunity.
You just set me up to hurt your feelings. You got to know the details.
All right. And then true or false, preparing for a wedding or planning a wedding is harder than preparing for a fight.
True. Absolutely true. You can't go any harder, like on the true side.
Yeah. Okay. And then will this be a destination wedding, or are you getting married somewhere in the greater Colorado area?
Denver, Colorado.
That's it. Okay.
We're going to have as many people at this place as possible, because it only happens once. So I want everyone to see it.
So wait a second. Are you saying there's a chance? Are you saying there's a chance? You said as many people as possible. Can I get can I tailgate your wedding?
Well, the other two guys got the save the date. You haven't got
I haven't got mine. Damn it, you're right. Okay. I mean, you know what? I told you, it's weird, man. My internet connection's bad at this house. That's why I'm not. That's why I made a studio. My studio internet's not working. That's why I'm sitting down in the kitchen, doing this on my phone, because my studio's not working. I guess my mail is not working as well, because if Trey and Kate got their invitations and I haven't gotten mine yet, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Bro, I'll fight Dale to be the ring bearer. You just tell me. I'll do it, man. I got your back, Drew.
Robbie, it's actually a Fight Club themed wedding, so
I'll bring the soap. There we go.
Project Mayhem. I'm excited. All right, Drew, I wish you nothing but the best, man. You are a class act, and it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. Kick ass. You know, you're a couple weeks out, man. Real quick, you've been eating really well. Who's preparing your food?
So I got, I thought her business, it's, change it to fuel.
Fuel your fight camp.
Was it Fuel by Fight Camp?
Fuel your fight camp, yeah.
Fuel your fight camp. Thank you so much.
Yep.
She like changed the name of it, and so I haven't been able to, but yeah. If you just follow my Instagram, I post about her all the time. She's incredible. She does fighter weight cut, weight descent plans. She's licensed under George Lockhart, so she's absolutely incredible. The best two fights I ever get to have. So I'm not hurting this camp.
Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else you want to give a shout out or thanks to? I know you usually got a great team behind you, man. You got anybody else?
I mean, everyone, anyone. The fans and you guys, the journalists. This is the only opportunity I get to be close with people that want to talk shop or, you know, want to hang out and speak MMA. So shout out to you guys and give me the opportunity to chat with you guys. And hopefully, fingers crossed, there will be fans, audience, meet and greets, and times where I can just talk shop with everyone soon.
Well, the sooner the better, man. And like I said, I'm infinitely thankful for your time and coming on the show. Thanks so much. And I don't know, Trey, Kate, if you guys want to say anything, but that's what I got for Drew.
No, appreciate you, man. You're a legend. Make sure to rock the flag, dude.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Did he just do that?
He did.
He just flexed like that? He just pulled his shirt off and then he signed off? Oh my God. Did you see how tan he was? How is that possible?
He's so tan.
Wow. He has better lighting.
It's snowing there. How dare he? Dude, I live in San Diego and I look like the snow that he walks around in. But he's as tan as, my God, I'm frustrated.
Whoa.
Wow. Jeez, oh man. He made me blush.
He's having a hot flash. Goodness, that was too much.
Jeez, oh man. Wow. He also peeled the shirt off like it was like he was allergic to it. You know what I mean?
I think it had buttons on it or a zipper.
Yeah.
How did it come off that quickly? It was
crackness.
Chippendale status.
I guess so, man. Golly. You know, listen, I'm just glad he didn't like Hulk Hogan, like rip it. You know what I mean? Like Hulkamania down the middle. I don't think my internet connection could handle that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm thunderstruck.
I think we're all kind of speechless. How do we end?
Yeah. Well, all right. What a way to end the show.
Yeah, that's a great thing to end the show on. Real quick, because we didn't pay any bills at the very beginning because we had all these technical difficulties. Guys, go to Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code PUNCH. Save 10% on your entire order. You can also go to AllegianceClothing.com for the softest shirts on the planet Earth. So much so that, Drew Dober's fiance may or may not use them for a sleep shirt. Use promo code PUNCH and save 15% off the entire thing. I know we normally have longer ad reads in that tray, but you've got to go. The internet's been a nightmare. And I don't know what to do once you have Drew Dober on your show and he peels his shirt off. How do you respond from this? How do you come back?
You don't. You just walk away with your head down. Thanks everyone, obviously, for listening. Go on our social channel, Punchless MMA. This is where we obviously post our picks. We have a big announcement that we're going to be dropping this week in regards to the February fights. You're going to see some big assets. It's a big undertaking for Dale and I. And we're so pumped to have Hot Take Kate in the rotation here. Guys, she's going to be a resident seat in that spot right there. So the good thing is...
Did I win?
I mean...
Did I already decide it? I decided
I guess Trey just decided it. I guess we're not talking about it anymore. Welcome to the team, Kate.
Welcome to the team, Kate. Excited for your takes going forward. We've got big fights on the horizon. Obviously nothing this week, but the following week we do have fights. So guys, again, Punchless MMA. That's all I got, Dale.
All right, cool. Kate, thanks so much for joining us. Guys, be sure to follow Kate on Instagram at sophisticated _MMA. She goes by Hot Take Kate. And then you have a YouTube channel as well, correct?
I do, but I haven't done a whole lot with it. I've found that producing my own videos is a nightmare and a half.
Okay.
Can you guys relate?
Yes. We will not. Yeah. We have no idea what that's like. no idea. So I appreciate you coming on. This was fun. Next week will be a lot more polished because I will solve whatever issue this is, or I will burn my internet provider to the ground. I assure you that.
Perfect.
But yeah, listen, guys, if you haven't done so, please follow us anywhere you possibly can. And now we've got Kate as part of the program too. Be sure to reach out to her, show that punch list love. Appreciate everybody that tuned into the show. We'll catch everybody next week. Until then, be good to each other, bet responsibly, and we'll see everybody next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bang, bang. Come on, Jake.
Oh, shit. Bang, bang.